There was a time when I thought that the time prior to the snatching away would be a relatively peaceful thing, relatively peaceful time, maybe filled with some last-minute happiness, last-minute joy, last-minute fun, last-minute awareness. But I think, at least this is my experience, you might be having a different experience. I hope you do. I wish the best for you. I wish the best for all of us, but I'm feeling surrounded by evil, and not evil people, not evil people. It's not about people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, world mights of this present darkness. And there are many beings in this present darkness who oppose what is about to happen to us, and I believe they are active, and they are aggressive, and they are violating or want to violate us. And I don't usually talk this way. I'm not the Pentecostal type, and this isn't Pentecostal whatsoever, what I'm telling you. Nothing to do with it. You know how much I hate that brand of Christianity. But it must be acknowledged that there are evil spirits in this world. There are malevolent entities that would want to sift us like wheat. None of them can destroy our salvation. Nothing can take away our being saved for the eons. Nothing can take away our aeonian life that was won for us by Jesus Christ at the cross. However, of course, we can be disqualified for ruling and reigning with Christ. We can give up this call. It doesn't wreck your salvation. It can wreck your apprehension. It can wreck an allotment, a future allotment. It still all depends on Christ. Of course, I know that, ultimately. But it's presented by Paul to us as a race. It's presented by Paul to us as running, as reaching out, as stretching forward, as holding, as all these active verbs. These active verbs have nothing to do with salvation, because salvation is not an active verb engaged upon by a human being or successfully enacted by a human being. It's won by Jesus Christ. I'm talking about contending. Paul, it's another word Paul uses for the faith, for the high calling above in Christ Jesus. A high calling. We're being opposed, especially as the day draws near. Don't think that you're going to get any rest. I'm not getting any rest. I know that. I'm feeling malevolent spiritual forces banging at me. You may be experiencing a different thing. I'm on my floor here sometimes, my face to the floor, spread out naked before God, saying, God, thanking him, first of all, first words from my mouth, thank you, Lord, thank you. Just, you know, I know I can worship God just by sitting here and talking and in my everyday life at the grocery store, whatever, picking out bananas to come worship God. But once in a while, I like that physical posture of realizing that I am nothing and I can be sifted by wheat. Like wheat, I could be destroyed by the adversary. My physical life could be destroyed, not my spiritual life. I could be rent to pieces, mentally, physically, by Satan. I could be rent to pieces by one of his freaking minions, let alone him. So I found myself dispelling malevolent beings verbally, which sounds very Pentecostal, very Christian. I don't give a damn how it sounds. I'm just saying, like, Christ is greater than you. Get the fuck out of here. That's what I said to one this morning. I know Christ is greater than you, so get the fuck out of here. I've claimed the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very powerful name. It's a respected name. I remember Paul in the book of Acts used the name of Jesus Christ, and there were the sons of Sceva. Remember those guys? I don't know what chapter of Acts it was in. They were trying to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus Christ, who Paul knows. They had a borrowed revelation. They were trying to borrow the power of Paul. They didn't have it within themselves. And the malevolent being said to them, "Well, Paul, we know. Jesus Christ, we're aware of. Who the hell are you?" And then proceeded to dismantle them, rip their clothes off, and send them running. This is real stuff, my friends. This is real stuff. Hear those sirens out there? Ah, well, there's still evil in the world, but that's one form of evil. Spiritual evil. That's nasty. Very nasty. Remember, John saw unclean spiritual beings in the unveiling. He saw them as amphibious. They were reptilian. And that's probably what they actually look like, although they present themselves on earth as messengers of light. And I hate, of course, Christianity with every fiber of my being, because it is consists of, is driven by, it is animated by reptilian looking, if we could actually see them, hideous, extremely frightening spiritual entities who are opposed to God in Christ, but who nevertheless are under the jurisdiction of God in Christ. I realize that. Okay, I understand that. And yet they are allowed, relatively speaking, to vex us. Paul himself had a messenger of Satan to vex him. So, you know, it's the thing where, yeah, you pray three times, "Lord, deliver me." And then if the Lord sees fit to not deliver you, you just say, "The grace of God is sufficient." But if you're feeling what I'm feeling, then let my words be a comfort to you. And the bottom line is, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I was mocked by a fellow believer for the video I made in the middle of the night. You remember that one I sent you? I thought it was going to be part of the Revelation series, but I didn't put it in there. I woke up at 2 in the morning. Remember, I made a video at 3. It was the hurricane was coming, which was, it wasn't really about the hurricane. The hurricane was being used as a picture of something deeper, something far more sinister that was affecting me. And I felt great sadness when I made that video. It wasn't that I was horrified or scared. It was that I was feeling a sense of foreboding and sadness and really mourning for the darkness coming on this world, which we could be partly affected by in its early stages. Maybe, maybe not, depending on how soon God will extricate us from this wicked eon. And it is a wicked eon. It's run by demons, run by Satan. Satan's the god of this world. That's scripture. Small g God, but nevertheless, God simply means placer. It's a generic term, could apply to Satan, could apply to Hitler, could apply to Jesus Christ, God. It's all in context. The word is a simple word. In the Greek, it's theos. It just means placer, one who's in charge of things, that puts things around. There's the God of the grocery store. He places stuff on the shelf. So anyway, there's a god of this world immediately that's effing with everybody, and it's Satan. And he has many, many subdivisions of assistants. Paul names them in Ephesians chapter 6, sovereignties, authorities, and world mights. These are the hierarchy of satanic beings, sovereignties, authorities, world mights. I think the sovereignties are the head honchos, authorities, and then world mites. They're the ones that are messing with us down here on this horrible planet. So I'm praying actively every day out loud to God, which is not something I ordinarily do. Prayer, the highest form of prayer, is that we pray unceasingly in spirit, and that the spirit itself makes intercession for us, praying in accord with what must be, for we do not know what must be. And so this spirit within me constantly prays, and I thank God for the spirit within me, and I thank God for the knowledge that Jesus Christ surrounds us. But that doesn't keep these forces from attacking, and they will attack, and they are attacking. And I don't usually talk this way, but I feel them, and they're vexing me, and they're wanting to tear me apart. And I'm actively, I'm not passively like, whatever will be, will be. I'm not that way. God doesn't want us to be that way. Paul doesn't want us to be that way. Paul says, put on the armor of God in order to withstand the attacks of the adversary. This is not a man who is stringing his hammock on the absolute viewpoint that we're saved and everything's well and nothing bad's gonna happen. This is a man who's engaged, even at the end of his life. He's warning Timothy of false teachings. This is a man who says, put on the armor of God. This is a man who warns you against the lies of Satan. Satan will lie to you, especially now. You are going to be barraged by spiritual warfare. Satan is going to try to make you think that you're crazy, that all of this talk about being rescued out of the current indignation, about being extricated out of this eon, about being seated above, it's all going to seem a lie to you, and you're going to wonder if you are crazy, if you dreamed it all up, if Zender's crazy, if the Bible's crazy, if Paul's crazy. And these are attacks, and I'm telling you, expect them, because if you expect them, then you won't be surprised by them, and you will be putting on the armor of God. I should go through the armor of God, because I'm dealing with the spiritual warfare right now as I speak to you. It was tough to turn on the microphone today. Yesterday's show was a mess. I sewed it together. It's got about 20 edits in it because I tried to make sense of it, right? Satan is against this. He's against the meeting this weekend. He's against any of the saints gathering. He hates the fact that there's a meeting this weekend. He hates the fact that people get together. He likes people isolated. That's a tactic of his. Isolate them so that then they can be deceived in their own little circle, their own little private corner, and they can feel alone, and they can feel forsaken, and they can feel that God has left them. And so this is what happens when people are apart, when people don't congregate. It's important for us to get together. That's why this meeting this weekend in Indianapolis is being heavily opposed by Satan. This is not some Pentecostal voodoo. This is real. It's real. Because people of consequence in God's Aeonian plan are going to be gathering. And as I speak to you, it's Friday, September 22nd. The meeting is beginning. And I'm there now, supposedly, you know, I mean, I'm 4 days ahead right now as I'm broadcasting this, as I'm making this. But the opposition won't quit. Of course, Satan can't stop it. He can put obstacles in the way. He can make people feel terrible. He can make people feel oppressed, obsessed, possessed. But Satan can't possess you. Don't worry about that. Oh, he can send his minions. He can send a world mite into your life. Can act like a dust mite and get in you and just wreak havoc. But greater is he who is in you. Okay? Don't worry. I'm not telling you to worry. I'm just telling you to put on the armor of God. I wasn't planning on going here, but I feel I must. I was going to finish up with Dr. Bullinger, but forget that right now. This is the most important thing. This is real. You're not dreaming this up, because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul says in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, "For the rest, my brethren, be invigorated by the Lord in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness." This is darkness. Don't get any illusions or delusions that this world is anything but darkness. It's against God. It's against Christ. It's against revelation. Even the Christian world, especially the Christian world, is against these things. And the Christian world deludes people and keeps people from Christ because it poses as a dispensary of truth from Jesus Christ, and yet it is in opposition to everything taught by Jesus Christ, everything accomplished by Jesus Christ. This is darkness. The world is darkness. The religion is darkness. Everything is darkness. We are lights. Where? In the darkness. If this isn't darkness, then the fact that we're lights is made a mockery of. But don't get comfortable yet. Don't get comfortable. Do not get comfortable, especially not now. I want you to be on your guard. I want you to listen to your gut spiritual instincts. I want you to keep coming to this website. I want you to come to the conference. I want you to keep learning, keep listening, and I want you to do this. Put on the armor of God. Satan has stratagems. These are tricks. The armor of God will enable you to stand up to the stratagems. A stratagem inherent in that word is the idea of a trick, of a lie. Satan is the liar. He's the father of lies. And I'm exposing his slimy ass right now. He has no offensive weapons except to divert you, to divert you. Can't change the truth. Can't change the crucifixion. Can't change your appointment to the body of Christ, but he can talk you out of your allotment. He can make you quit. He can vex you with problems, with physical disabilities, with spiritual disabilities, with doubts, with fears. And you're going to feel all these things in the final days of the final years of Millennium 6, I think. And you need to, if you need to, make sure you remind yourself that Christ is greater than Satan. He has defeated him. Satan has tricks left. That's it. He's an old man behind a curtain with levers and flamethrowers and reverb. He's got lots of reverb. And the bass on Satan's reverb is incredible. It's so deep. It gets into your gut, into your soul, into your heart, and it vibrates, and it just gets you deep, and you start to be very trepidatious and sad and, yeah, maybe even sometimes scared. Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah, yeah. I'm not immune to it. I'm just telling you, on that video, I was more mourning and sad than scared. But yeah, I can get scared. Hell yes. I admit it. Anybody that doesn't admit it is freaking liar. But it's all a light show. Satan's, you can die in your sleep from a bad dream. You can die in your sleep from something that's not happening. You can die from worrying over things that haven't happened, that will not happen, but they're so real to you. The deception is so real that your mind believes it, and you can have a heart attack, and you can get arteriosclerosis. You can get nerve problems. You can need medication. You can need depression medication. You can need drugs, all because of crap that you're imagining in your head that's not true, that's a result of lies. It's a result of stratagems. This is what Satan does, and he's doing it to us right now. That's why Paul writes this in the highest book, you know, besides Romans. This is the highest spiritual revelation. Paul's not done with Satan, is he? You'd think the highest spiritual revelation is, oh, you don't need to worry about Satan anymore. This is the highest revelation of God to man, the book of Ephesians. You don't need to worry about Satan anymore. No, Paul finishes the book with, you do need not to worry, but to put on the armor of God to fight the stratagems of the adversary, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What that means is the people in your life coming against you, it's not really them. They're tools. They're useful idiots. They're tools of Satan to vex you. Satan uses them, and he uses malevolent spiritual beings, actual creatures that look like goddamn frogs that disguise themselves as messengers of light. That's what happens. Don't think that doesn't happen, because it does. This is what we're to do. The world mites of this darkness with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestial. Spiritual forces of wickedness. There are spiritual beings that are wicked. Yes, Paul's naming them here. He's giving them you their order of importance. He's giving you their offices, sovereignties, authorities, and world mites. Therefore, because of this, take up the armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the wicked day. And have an effect at all to stand in the wicked day. This day's wicked, and we need to stand in it. We're not getting out of it yet. We will get out of it soon. But until then, we're standing in it up until the second we're taken out of it, and it could be any time. Look, this isn't going to go on forever. We're not sitting here. We're not so stupid as we're going to pray for more time here so that we can be further developed, so that we can stand more wickedness. No, we're praying to get out of here. That's a legitimate prayer. I don't want any of you praying that this era be elongated, that this era be extended. No, pray to get the hell out of here, and get the hell out of here now, so that we can begin our work of reconciling the universe with Christ. As soon as we get changed, then the whole creation gets delivered eventually from the bondage to corruption. Romans chapter 8, the entire creation is groaning, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation instinctively knows that we are the key to their deliverance, that until we're perfected, nothing else can get perfected. We're the next great thing that's going to happen in God's plan. Us. It's not vainglorious. We already know that we're nothing. We already know we have no confidence in the flesh. It has nothing to do with boasting. Boasting is debarred because we understand that this grace has come to us apart from law, apart from our behavior, apart from anything. It's not vainglory. All creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. Read Romans 8. And creation, because of this, groans. And we ourselves who have the first fruits, we ourselves groan for our adoption, for our sonship, for our son placing. We've been given an earnest of our inheritance. We've been given a small part of it, and it's the earnest of the Spirit in us, and it is the guarantee of the rest of the inheritance. It's just a matter of time now. It's been signed and sealed. It only awaits deliverance, but deliverance is coming. In the final minutes of the show, I have to get this out to you. This is what you use to stand. You use, be girded with around your loins with truth, not with falsehood, not with Christian doctrines, not with teachings of your church, but with truth. You need the truth, not the lie. With the cuirass of righteousness put on. A cuirass covers the whole body. It's not a breastplate like the King James says. A breastplate only covers the front. You need your back covered too, because that's where the arrows come in. The cuirass of righteousness. That is, God has declared you to be righteous. That's, you need to remember that. I'm righteous. No matter what you see in the mirror, no matter what opinion you might have of yourself, no matter what other people say about you, no matter the accusations Satan brings against you, screw that shit. You are righteous. God has declared it to be so. You have to fly by your instrument. You can't believe anything that says you're a sinner going to hell. You're in great danger of losing your salvation. You're not. That's the cuirass of righteousness, sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace that God is now. The window's still open. Paul's window's still open. God is now conciliated to the world through Christ. God is at peace to the world. This is our message. We need to be sandaled with this. That is, put it on our feet. Wherever we go, we take this message. It's still applicable. It's not always going to be applicable very soon. The window's going to close. Paul's last member of the body of Christ is going to come in. Paul's gospel is going to be over. And then God picks up again with the kingdom in earnest. So this is important, to be sandaled with the evangel of peace. We don't have an evangel of eternal torment. We don't have an evangel of believe in Jesus Christ or you're going to go to hell. We don't have an evangel that free will is what gets you saved. We don't have an evangel that Jesus Christ didn't really die because he's really God. So, no, Jesus Christ died. He's the Son of God. He's the go-between between man and God. This is what we teach. This is the truth. The evangel of peace. And take up the large shield of faith, by which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. I told you fire was one of his tools. Flaming, like the Wizard of Oz, flames on both sides. It's fire, and it's a gas-fed fire. It can't. faith. Faith is a conviction concerning things which are not being observed. We're not observing our deliverance yet, but we have faith that it's going to happen. You have to keep that faith. Keep the faith. That's where that saying comes from. And the sword of the Spirit, this is the only offensive weapon on this whole armor thing, which is a declaration of God. That is the words that proceed from God's mouth that we don't hear out of the sky. We don't see it in skywriting. We get it from the scriptures properly translated in versions like the Concordant Literal New Testament, the DeBar Translation, or Young's Literal New Testament. This has been Martin Zender, and by the grace of God, I will talk to you again Monday. The armor of God. Armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Read Ephesians 6. These are serious days. Don't lose it. Don't give up. It ain't going to be pretty. I'm not telling you it has to be pretty. You're not going to pirouette through this thing. You're not going to look like some kind of movie star. You're going to be haggard. You're going to be vexed. You're going to be crawling on the ground. But that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Many great men and women of God have done that. Paul lived in a swamp. Paul was beaten. Paul wandered around. Most of the saints wandered around like homeless people. They wandered around like expatriates. They didn't have a home here. This could be you. That's okay. You're favored. Don't worry. God disciplines those he loves. Some strange thing is not happening to you. This is the way it's supposed to be. We're in it together.